Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we're opening our Bibles to Revelation chapter 6 through 9 and also Matthew chapter 24 as we study the Great Tribulation. Here's Paul Chappell.
And how we ought to thank God that salvation is not by works, it's by grace through Jesus Christ. But notice in Revelation 14, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Now, the 144,000 are the first to be saved in the tribulation. And God is going to use these young Jewish male virgin young men to be his witnesses during the tribulation. And the Bible is clear that the gospel will be preached to all nations. Verses 6 and 7 speak of that in Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation 7 and verse 9, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand. And we learn from this that these were the saints of the tribulation period. Verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so, some good news before we get into some of the judgments, that there will be witnesses preaching that Jesus Christ is Messiah. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible speaks about the two witnesses. We hear of the 144,000 and then the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. And these witnesses have a ministry as well. And this ministry will take place in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. These two witnesses are going to be mighty powerful men of God proclaiming the truth of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. A few things about them. God will give them their power, and also they will prophesy for 1260 days, the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. The two witnesses, some believe, are Moses and Elijah because of the miraculous works that they have done. But we know that they will stand in God's power and proclaim God's truth. They will do various miracles as well. They will turn waters into blood, according to Revelation 11. They can call down plagues upon the earth. Their work ultimately will end by the beast killing them and the world celebrating their death. According to verses 8 through 10, the world will rejoice when those prophets are removed out of the way. But we bring these to your attention because of the question, can people be saved during the tribulation? And there will be witnesses going forth concerning the gospel of Christ, and there will be people saved. So we see the removal of the saints, that's the rapture, and then the rise of the Antichrist, but also there will be the rising up of witnesses proclaiming the truth of God. Now let's notice letter D, the retribution of God's judgment. Because when we think of the tribulation, we think of the judgment of God upon the earth. And as I said at the beginning, we're just kind of overviewing the characteristics of tribulation. But if you want to sum it up in one word, it will be judgment upon the earth for 7 years. And so let's think of it. Now, the specific judgments that are poured out are mentioned in the book of the Revelation, and they're mentioned in this manner. First, the seven seal judgments. Second, the seven trumpet judgments. And third, the seven vial judgments. The seven seals in chapter 6, the seven trumpets in chapters 8 through 11, and the seven vials or bowl judgments are found in chapter 16. And all of these refer to the tribulation period. And all of these judgments can fall into three categories. And I want to share those with you this morning as we think about the matter of God's retribution and judgment. Number one, I want you to notice that there will be life-ending judgments on the earth. There will be judgments that come from God that end life on earth. There will be wars. Matthew 24, 6 speaks of them. And there will be much life loss in these wars. There will be famine. The Bible speaks of the famine in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Some of you have seen perhaps paintings of this. This black horse and he that sits on him with the balance representing who will get food and how much. And Charles Ryrie says of this vision, the black horse forebodes death and the pair of balances bespeaks a careful rationing of food. Normally a penny, a day's wages in Palestine would bring about 8 measures of wheat or 24 of barley. But under the famine conditions, the same wage will give about 1 measure of wheat or 3 measures of barley. And so there will be a time of war, a time of great famine. Thirdly, the Bible mentions pestilences. And the word pest speaks of the plagues that will come upon the earth. And there will be plagues and diseases during this time. And the world has already seen much in the way of plagues and diseases. I think of the bubonic plague in Europe that took the 1/3 of Europe's population. And so it's not unprecedented or unthinkable when the Bible speaks about these massive plagues. We think of the AIDS epidemic in Africa and 4 out of 10 in South Africa who are infected with AIDS even now. And we sense and understand that there will be a great increase of these types of things. And we hear about some things now, the SARS breakout and the so-called viruses, super viruses, they refer to them many times as such. But the fact of the matter is that about 1/4 of the world's population is going to die during this 7-year period. In fact, Revelation 6:8 speaks of this. It says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. And so there will be life ending judgments on the earth during the tribulation for all who did not believe and who are left behind. Secondly, there will be environmentally devastating judgments. Those who worship Mother Earth, the goddess Gaia, as the New Agers call it, those that we sometimes affectionately refer to as tree huggers, are going to be very disappointed during the 7-year period, because nature is going to be destroyed and devastated in many, many ways. And Matthew 24, Jesus spoke of the earthquakes in diverse places, and these, he said, are the beginning of sorrows. And so let's notice, first of all, earthquakes are spoken of during this final day, or final week rather, of judgment. This past week, Science Daily magazine recorded an interesting article, and it said, and I quote, U.S. seismologists have found evidence that a massive 2004 earthquake that triggered killer tsunamis throughout the Indian Ocean weakened at least a portion of California's famed San Andreas Fault. The results, which appear this week in the journal Nature, suggest that the Earth's largest earthquakes can weaken fault zones worldwide and may trigger periods of increased global seismic activity. Now, God doesn't need the weakening of various seismic regions to bring on an earthquake. How many of you believe He can speak and one can happen, right? But the fact of the matter is that the old world is shaking, the faults are weakening, and God's word predicts that in the tribulation there will be great, great earthquakes. Secondly, there will be fires. There will be, in verse number 8, speaks of a giant meteorite that will come and will hit into the Mediterranean Sea, destroying 1/3 of the sea life and creating a great tidal wave. The Bible speaks, fourthly, of water contamination. Revelation 8, 10, and 11 speaks of the fresh water supplies being poisoned and many men dying from this water contamination. Then we read also of the sun's loss of power, and the earth will lose much of the power of that comes from the light and the heat that comes from the sun. And this is not indicated as to how long it will take place, but these are just some of the catastrophic events that will take place with regard to the environment and regard to the planet itself. So there will be life-ending judgments taking the life of men and women, 25% of the world's population. There will be environmental catastrophes upon this earth. And I'm telling you, folks, the World Health Organization is going to be very, very busy. And the World Bank is going to be very, very busy. And the Antichrist trying to calm and create peace. But the fact is that God's judgment will be very evident for 7 years. There is a third category that I want to mention as well. And that category is what we could call retaliatory judgments. The majority of these are mentioned in Revelation 16 as the vile judgments. These judgments are specific judgments. They are supernatural, specific judgments against the beast or the Antichrist and his kingdom. And they will be focused primarily in the second half of this tribulation period. And Satan fights against the saints that are working through the Antichrist, but the vials contents are referred to as the wrath of God that is poured out on those who are fighting against his saints. And so interestingly, though many saints will be martyred and though many will be persecuted, God will also bring judgment upon those who are persecuting his children. Let's notice a few of them. First, the torment of the beast followers. Those who follow the Antichrist will be tormented. Now, I've read a lot of commentaries, and I'm trying not to be too sensationalized in a lot of these situations to elaborate beyond what the scriptures say. Some say that the beast, those who take the mark of the beast, will have some type of an infection related perhaps to the plant of a chip within their skin, that there will be some type of disease from that. We don't know exactly how it will come into their body, but the Bible says the beast followers will be tormented. Revelation 9 and verse 3 says, "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." And so during the 7-year period, there will be unbelievers with the mark of the beast. There will be believers known by God. And this particular retaliatory judgment is against those who have taken the mark of the beast. And these locusts from hell will torment them for some 5 months. So torments of the beast followers are mentioned. Secondly, sores will develop on those who take the mark of the beast. And Revelation 16:2 refers to it as a grievous sore. And then thirdly, the Mediterranean and fresh water supplies will be turned to literal blood. Revelation 16:3-6. And then again, we read a moment ago, torments by the sun. But these are specifically on those who have rejected Christ. Revelation 16:8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Can I just stop for a moment and comment on the depravity of mankind? How that even with judgment falling, men would not repent. How that even during this most terrible of time on planet Earth, hardened hearts become harder to the things of God. What a tragedy to think of that. At the end of these judgments, the world is deceived to the Battle of Armageddon. And next week we're going to see the culmination. We'll take a little more time on the Battle of Armageddon. The world will come against the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will be the final battle at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This judgment is a tragedy, but it is recorded in Scripture. And we see that it will involve these different categories. It will involve the loss of life, the devastation of nature, and retribution against those who persecute the saints of God. And so this is the progression of the tribulation. Notice on the screens or in your notes, the removal of the saints, the rise to power of the Antichrist, the revelation of the witnesses, the 144,000 and the two witnesses, and then the retribution of God's judgment coming down through the bowl judgments, through the seal judgment, as the Scriptures have recorded. Now let's notice as we close this morning, the purpose of the tribulation. The purpose. We learned a little bit in the first point, but notice first of all the purpose as it relates to Israel. The purpose as it relates to Israel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." Now, amazingly, having said that in the Scriptures, God still calls out to the children of Israel, and He still wants them to be saved, and He still wants to restore Israel unto Himself. And so He will release the hold of the Gentiles over her during this time, and He will call them unto Himself. Jeremiah 39 says, "But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up to them." Again, God's purpose through all of this is to bring them back to Him. And many, many Jews in the end times. We believe with all our hearts that the tribulation judgments of God serve a dual purpose: to punish hardened sinners and to move others to repentance and faith. The tribulation will be God's ultimate illustration of the truth found in Romans 11:22. Now, as we consider the purpose of God, two things. First, retribution to the nations. Retribution. Psalm 2. I want you to turn in your Bible there to Psalm 2. It may be in your notes as well, but I want you to see this chapter as we think of God bringing retribution to the unbelieving nations who chose the Antichrist over the Christ, who have been following after the mother of harlots, as we learn in Revelation 17. And here we see retribution to the nations. These are the nations that are going to rage and come against the Lord, and they will be dealt with at the Battle of Armageddon. And notice in Psalm 2 and verse 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His saying, against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore pleasure." Verse 9 says, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." And so there will be retribution to the nations during the time of tribulation. But the second side of this is the mercy of God. How many of you believe that our God is a God of divine balance? He is a God of judgment upon the hardened heart. He is a God of mercy to those with a softened heart or repentant heart. Revelation 9:20 says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. So here we see an increase of wickedness by the unsaved. But in Revelation 14:3, we read that there will be a multitude of people who will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while this period of time is primarily a time of wrath and judgment, it also features a time of great grace for those who will repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the purpose of the tribulation, again, as it relates to Israel, is to turn Israel's heart to God and to the true Messiah. As it relates to the nations, to bring retribution for their rejection and to bring an offering of grace for those who will receive and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's conclude in Matthew 24 with the words of Jesus once again as we were reading a moment ago. And verse 27, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And in verse 31, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now, all of these judgments during the tribulation are leading up to the Battle of Armageddon, the coming of our Savior. And today's message really prepares us for that message next week on the second coming. But let me just pause before we consider the second coming. And let me remind you of this simple fact, that God does not intend His children to go through this time of tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He has saved us from the wrath to come. Some of you recall the best-selling series a few years ago by Tim LaHaye entitled The Left Behind Series. And some of you may have read those books. And there was a lot of interesting fiction, but based on Bible truth in those books. But the title alone is thought-provoking, Left Behind. And I just want to simply say this morning, my friends, no one, after even hearing about a quarter of the earth's population, after hearing about the unsaved taking a mark, after hearing about the great time of judgment on this planet, no one would want to live during such a time on planet earth. And that's why we urge you today to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't put this decision off. Don't risk it, my friend. Don't be left behind. Because yes, Jesus Christ is coming at the second coming. But you and I must decide now to trust in Him as our Savior, that we might have that reservation settled for heaven.
Friend, have you ever made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You know, Christian growth is the process of a lifetime, but salvation is the miracle of a moment. Even right now, you could come to the Lord by faith and simply say to Him in prayer, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I confess that to you. And I ask you to forgive me and to come into my life and be my personal Savior." The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved." And if you are willing to turn from yourself, from your false religion, and put faith in Christ alone as your Savior, He promises to forgive your sin and to save you today. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also." To all those who have trusted in Christ, we have the wonderful promise of spending our eternity with Jesus Christ. I hope you'll take time to consider God's love and to respond by faith to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior today.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell. This program comes to you every Monday through Friday, and you can find out more information about our program, our ministry, our daily devotional, and the daily podcast when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, what most religions don't tell you about the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.